And all the church said,
amen.
All right, my assignment finds me in Psalm 18. Appreciate people being able to do business with the Lord of glory, don't you? I want to tell you, I'm convinced that he's the only one that can make the wrongs right. We got a mess of people that are trying to make all the wrongs right the wrong way. It'll never get right till it gets under the blood. I'll tell you that right now. Jesus did not die in vain when he died at Calvary. He died for whosoever will. Somebody said, well, don't look like many people are coming to God. I'm not basing it on what it looks like. I'm basing on the reality and the surety that when people come by faith, bow at his feet, they can get their sins washed away, never to be remembered anymore. The greatest return I know on your life is for you to lay it down at the foot of Jesus Christ. Let him take the fragments of fallen humanity and raise them up in surety of hope and eternal greatness because of Jesus and his righteousness. Amen. Psalm chapter 18 gives us the story of David. Commentators have alleged and believe that this was probably written in the lieu and in the light of when David has crossed some of the major hurdles of his individual life. He has fought so many battles. They have concluded that he was no doubt the spirit of a great warrior. He was a man, the Bible said, after God's own heart. But even though he was a great warrior, and even though he stood the trials of time and lived through some failures that were deep-seated things in his life, God was able to use him, was able to restore him, to replenish him, to revive him, and make him usable material. We find this man is in one of the greatest broken states a person could ever get in. And in that state of brokenness, he is acknowledging how great God is. We could use the parallel passage for this chapter. We'd look back in 2 Samuel chapter 22. For almost recorded in the same light is the same words, identifying the greatness of our God. You can write to any author of any book, and they may write back and say what penned that word or why was the cause of that word. But this book is without any error because God penned it with a divine pen. He has no apologies to make and no regrets in its printing. Everything that he said, he intended to say. When I preach it, bless God, I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm going to drop the hammer, turn over the plow, let every clod come out that's in the way of it, and let God take care of the end result. Let's stand this morning if you're able. I'm going to begin preaching in verse number 4, but I'm going to read the first 4 verses. Somebody said, why would you read something you don't plan to preach? Because I just might preach it in spite of everything I said. Amen. Psalm 18, verse 1. If you found it, would you say amen?
Amen.
The Bible said, I will love thee, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength in whom I will trust, my buckler and the horn of my salvation and my high tower. I'm going to let you be seated only because I feel something tumbling over on the inside of me. This message was birthed through a study of my own. We're preaching on Wednesday night a me series of messages. I have taken the word me and located it in every instance that it's recorded in the Bible. Nothing short of 3,080 references to where me is highlighted or illustrated. And when we begin to look at the me's in the scripture, we see a reflection of how it applies to us. What's it saying? What's it doing? How does it impact me? What's the end result of what God's doing? The start of all of this begins through where God is working with humanity. So the me's that we've been dealing with in recent days deals with human life, human circumstance. Are y'all still here? When we start considering that what the Lord is doing is for our good and for his honor, it ought to say something to us as individuals. When we come to Psalm 18, we are now marking the identity of what God could do in and through David. For so much of time as we are in this morning, I want to talk to you a little bit about never giving up when things are beating you down. You've got to be reminded that God is a God that raises the lives of men to a new level and to a new benchmark.
Notice in verse number 3, David now not only talks about how much he cares and how much he loves, and he's been endowed with the Lord, and he's talked about these instances where you can see the Lord in his life. One thing he said, God's a rock. Commentators believe, if you study that Hebrew word, he's unmovable. I don't care what Washington does. They don't move God. They don't change God's mind. You said you're pulling for one crowd or the other. I'm not pulling for any of them, but I'm pulling for God. Amen. Now, I do believe I ought to be prayerful for my country. I do believe that the Bible says you ought to honor those that have authority over you, whether they are authority in the pulpit or in political leadership. You can leave this building if you want to and break the law, but good chances you'll get caught and you'll have to pay the price. I don't have time for that, but you take it for whatever it's worth. If you don't take my word for it, I am liable to get all crossed up with it, sure enough. He speaks about what now has prompted him. In spite of how great God is in being a rock and a great fortress and a deliverer and strength and a buckler, his life was still moved. There's a landslide of problems in our country today. In our churches today, there's all kinds of movements. And David finds how to keep going on when everything around you is moving to the wrong sound. And I think if anybody needs to know that, the church of the living God needs to know that. You need to know where to turn when your life's falling apart. Now, I need the full participation of every one of you. Say amen. Amen. We need to know where we can go when nothing makes sense. We need to know who we can turn to when we can't seem to find God and we can't feel God. You've got to know that this word has the answer. David finds him. He finds him by calling upon him. There've been times when I could not see where God was, but I want to tell you, I knew where God was based on the authority of that Bible. Now, I can't say what I say in a small tone voice. I get real excited. I mean, I'm so excited right now. If I could, I'd like to cut a backward slip for the Lord.
Preacher, brother. Amen.
And I want to tell you what I see David doing now is I find David embracing God based on who he is. And I want to tell you today that if you'll do exactly what David did, you should expect nothing less than David got. David got an answer to his problem.
Amen. Amen.
He got encouragement in his heart. He got ambition for his future. I want to tell you, great God up in heaven. Boy, I feel God. When I start thinking about how much God loved me and he put time together, put things together in spite of every failure that we've ever made, I'm glad God has a way of working things out to his honor and to our good. I'm not finished yet. Hang on. David said, the Lord, I will call upon him who is worthy to be praised. Now, I want to tell you, every time that you or myself goes before God and we plead before God, we honor God because we are acknowledging somebody that can do something about something that needs to happen in our life. I know Washington didn't say it, and I know maybe the Charlotte Times didn't say it, but I know the Word of God declared it, and we ought to be excited. Well, I'm glad I got enough of the old time preacher in me that I just like to do it the way I'm doing it right now. I'm glad. Now, I want to tell you, I will just to think about how much God went through to make sure I knew him. It excites me to know that he cares about where I'm living. I'm still not finished. He said, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. So shall I be what? So shall I be what? Saved. I want to tell you, David knew that even though he had the spirit of a warrior, even though he had the ambition of a saint, there was a time in his life when he needed God's deliverance, and nothing short of trusting in God's deliverance works. I've been around people I felt like could move mountains, but they crossed an era in their life when they could do nothing. And I want to tell you, if you were to walk into a room and the doctor say, I can't do nothing, my hands are tied, I don't know what happened, you'll fall down before a God that you know holds the stars in the sky and the sun and the moon in his hands and the elements of what God performed when he put creation where it is. I want to tell you, he's still performing today by his good pleasure. I'm still not finished. I'm still stirring around the right stuff. David gets to verse number 4. Now I want to tell you, in spite of how good you say God is, in spite of how great you say God is, in spite of how glorious you say God is, your life is still turbulent by hard times, difficult places, mixed emotions. And if you'll agree with me this morning, like everybody ought to agree with me, you will have to embrace the fact that God's the only answer to what we're facing now today. Notice what David said in verse number 4, identifies the surroundings of his life. I want to tell you, I'm glad that when things surround me that are bad and harmful and troublesome, I'm glad I got a God that can keep hell off me and devils off me and demons away from me. One of my preacher friends was preaching this morning on television. The Lord said, he better slow down, he's going to have a heart attack. I said, I want to tell you something. That man's been doing that long as I've known him. And if he did have a heart attack and die in the pulpit, what better place could you go to glory from?
Amen.
Might get some of them saved. Man can stand and have the joys of God in his heart and have the power of God on his life. What greater testimony could he have? David said in verse number 4, the sorrows of death, they have come past me, and the floods of ungodly men made me afraid. You said, I don't understand that. Well, I tell you, if you ever run up on hard times, you will. David was a real warrior. He beat a giant upside the head, killed him, graveyard dead, when he was a young man. That'd help your ego, wouldn't it? And then all of a sudden find himself running from his own son. That'll help your ego, won't it? I want to tell you something. When days turn to bad times and darkness settles in real close to where people are living, it'll make you recalculate the steps of your life. It'll make you embrace somebody greater than who you are. And David admits that there are things around him that he must not deny in spite of how great a warrior he was. We're going to take a few minutes this morning, and we're going to go back to find out what could David possibly be saying that would say volumes to our life. Things that could change. I don't know whether this is helping you or not, but I find somebody up here with me this morning that knows more about you than I know about you. Somebody that knows where we are in time that we don't know where we are. I'm glad God's able to take everything that we've got and begin to talk about it. First of all, I want you to notice the twist of David's life is clarified. The word that is used there for a compass about is a Hebrew word that means to be twisted like a rope. Have you ever felt all bound up or all wound up? Sometimes I could say I was all wound up and it meant I was excited and happy. Other times it might mean that I was tied up and defeated. David has told us in the first 3 verses how great his God was. But how great his God was did not deny the fact that reality of living is a totally different thing. Got so many spiritual people. They've never done nothing wrong. You'd think that the angelic part of their life flapped around high enough everybody could see their glory. But very few people see it. I'm here to tell you, David was not strutting. I said something Wednesday night in my message. I think sometimes people confuse arrogance with boldness, godly boldness. I want to tell you, I ought to be bold enough to preach God's word. Let what man says go. But when it comes to God's word, you ought to be flat-footed and direct when you get it. I can see David now begin to talk. He speaks of the rope that is twisted in his life. I want to tell you, God knows exactly where you are. God knows exactly how you are. God knows where you're going to be on tomorrow or day after tomorrow or in eternity. Notice the words that is used here, the word sorrows. I told you the word compassed. The word compassed means to be surrounded or encompassed with. The word for sorrows means to be twisted like a rope. I'm glad I wrote my own message. Get real messed up in a hurry trying to read somebody else's. David begins to show us how his life is stitched. I have bought some clothing, like I did when I bought this suit, and it was hanging on the shelf. They said it was new, never been worn. Taking it home, everything looked just fine till I put my big buttocks in it and I found where they didn't put a stitch. I bought two suits in the last 3 years that right across right here, and I know that's a sign I need to do a little dieting, and I can't help it. I'm like some of the rest of you. I got a big butt. Not the B-U-T-T, the B-U-T. But I'm hungry, but I like it. That butt. See, y'all done went somewhere else, you unspiritual bunch. David said, the sorrows of death come past me. He shows us that life has been twisted. I'm here to tell you, I may stand and shout the victory. I may stand flat-footed and glorify God, but my life at times has been really twisted. Any man of God worth his salt will be honest about it.